Good morning. Today is Friday, March the 17th. St. Patty's Day, 2007. It was 1717.
And happy St. And it's Patrick's Day.
Almost 17 past. Yeah. Oh. Joining us this morning, Karen Diemer, the boss in Arcata. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's been an interesting week as we're seeing, and I had made some comments about this earlier. It seems like it's changing the guard this week. We'll touch on that in a sec.
Okay.
Our quote this morning comes from, No, I won't do that one. It's a food one. Vladimir Lenin. You probably recognize his name.
Mm.
Yes. I am certainly not radical enough. One can never be radical enough. That is, one must always try to be as radical as reality itself.
And that's going to go with the changing of the guard?
We'll see. Well, we've got the transition going on at the county schools. We've got transition going on in Fortuna. We got transition going on at CR. It just kind of seems a time of change.
And the Humboldt County School transition means transition going on in Arcata.
Right.
You know, taken our esteemed leader.
Leader.
And then,
you know, we were talking about Boris Badenoff and Natasha during the show. Interesting you're continuing that theme. Actually, fearless leader.
Yeah, and Dr. Hartley will do a great job for Humboldt County Schools, but we are sorry to see him go.
Does something like that have ripples through your part of or your domain of the city?
It certainly can. I mean, Dr. Hartley's done a great job of setting up and strengthening the partnership between the city and the high school district, you know, within the communities of Arcata, and I'm certain in McKinleyville as well. And so, you know, that is the transition that we need to ensure that that partnership retains. We've had a couple of, you know, big projects that we've done with the district, one of them being the reinstitution of the juvenile diversion program. So we have two diversion counselors that are working out of both Arcata High and McKinleyville High, and a school resource officer through our police department within that high school jurisdiction. So, like, that's one example of the leadership of Dr. Hartley and our Police Chief Tom Chapman working together, creating a partnership to bring Measure Z funds and public safety to the high school district.
As you look at the replacement, whoever they are, what would you like the relationship to be? Stronger? More integrated? More? Less? I mean, what are your hopes for whoever the individual is that gets tapped?
So I think we're always looking for stronger relationships. You know, the high school interplays in our community in a number of ways, you know, whether it's the homecoming parade, whether it's the Tiger sports that happen throughout the entire community. The other project that we've been working with very closely at the high school is on their athletic field rehabilitation. We hope
this
to
is
see
the old original football field,
right?
Kind of, yeah.
So the high school has needs and the community has needs, but the community also has facilities. So how do we really make that partnership work for our kids in Arcata? So having that strong partnership and that close relationship becomes more important as resources get more scarce in any community.
KINS News and Information Times, 819. We'll be back with more from Karen Diemer.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, if the high school and the elementary school has influence on certainly the city, but the city structure, the government, what is the interaction with Humboldt State? Sometimes you hear that it's, you know, town versus gown. I mean, I think that's an always That's an easy excuse to, mm-hmm. to lob out, and it's been there forever. Well, at least 100 years forever and a little bit more. Some have been really engaged in the community. Some of the haven't been as engaged. How was the relationship with Humboldt State?
Our relationship, I think, has grown a lot in the last couple of years. We've got a couple of fairly significant initiatives. The largest one that we're working really weekly with Humboldt State University is on racial equity and inclusivity in the city. Their large change in demographics on campus has brought a significant amount of racial diversity to the Arcata community. And that student population and students of color on campus have had real mixed experiences within the Arcata community. So we've been meeting weekly, and Humboldt Area Foundation has assisted this entire region in bringing in some resources to start to talk about how do you help a community transition to a more racially diverse community, which is happening all throughout Humboldt County if we look at our K-12 school population. And happen at a significantly faster rate within our college population in Humboldt State. So we're working on, you know, what we're calling a racial equity action plan.
Yeah, give a little definition. Is it the Latino and the Asian communities that have
it would be
more?
Yeah, Latino, Latina populations, Asian, Black American populations predominantly. But I think Humboldt State is 33% Latino, Latina. Population this year. They also have a significant amount of first-generation students, much fewer transfer students than maybe was historically the population of Humboldt State. So the areas of, you know, potential conflict are within our downtown area, within our business community, within our housing sectors, of, you know, the traditional ways that our more independent students that came up as transfers to this area looking for housing. It's a very different market when they're coming up as first-generation students, a younger population of students needing that assistance and finding a way of both their school community and then the Arcata community. So,
is it their culture and their genetic code, or is it the fact that they're students?
That's the
one I've heard is
it's two.
Kids versus somebody who's not, you know, here for a year or two and then leaving, and they treat the facility as if they're going to be here for a year or two and then leaving.
Right, from the landlord's perspective. You know, and we certainly, any year,
hate to tell you, I'm closer to the
college.
Landlords than I am the kids age-wise.
Yeah, but you've got kids in the other category.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe heading out, we both do.
Yeah.
They grow quick. I think it's on both sides. I think the student population tends to be a little bit younger coming. I think the first-generation student component, and I think they're coming from much more urbanized areas. So they're used to having, you know, sort of a plethora of housing options to choose from, and you come into a rural community anywhere in Humboldt County, and our housing options are very limited. So the idea of really having to search and seek out and go walk street to street and find numbers on windows that say for rent, I mean, that's just unheard of in, you know, the LA or San Diego County areas. So it's just a combination of trying to figure out, you know, how do we meet the housing needs of the students, the housing needs of our community in Arcata. I mean, I find that, you know, we're near a housing crisis at all levels.
Wait till your kids try to find a place.
Yeah, it's impossible.
And I don't know, throw under the bus is the right phrase, but the management firms for the properties also are unmotivated because they've got such huge demand and such little supply that if you try to connect with somebody, maybe it'll be a day or two. And by then,
difficult.
It's really, is Humboldt looking to put more student housing on campus so that at least that impact is, well, maybe it's neutralized?
Right. Yes, they are looking at sort of a housing strategic plan for on-campus housing. We also have a private developer that is actively under purchase and sale agreement for a large property in Arcata we currently call Craftsman Mall. They are looking at an 800-bed facility, like a 240 units. So St. Louis overpass, location-wise, it's an old, partially mill site. It's industrial limited. It's
kind of a mix of lumber?
On the other
side,
on the
three?
West side of the highway.
Yeah, okay.
There still is a little lumber mill there.
Right.
And then there's a lot of kind of mixed use, industrial, some small businesses, and a lot of vacant land.
Landing spot for stuff.
Yeah. So we have a private developer who, I mean, I think came into the same situation that I hear from a lot of parents. Their students head to college. They maybe find dorm housing their first year. They maybe don't. But by second year, then they're really kicked off of campus, and they're having to go into
the school really pushes them out to make space for the incoming?
Yeah, a lot of universities, because they just don't have enough housing on campus to house second, third, fourth year students.
So this is somebody from out of the area who recognized a need and is coming in?
Yeah, who first built a large complex for CSU Monterey Bay, and they've done several other complexes. It will be for matriculating students only.
Realize I'm from Eureka. Matriculating?
Well, active students, full-time students.
Okay. Enrolled kids.
enrolled college kids, as opposed to, you know, being open. I mean, all of our, what we would consider traditional student housing in Arcata is, you know, mixed of, you know, all sorts of, you know, generations. And not necessarily student, you know, only housing. So this would be student-only housing, and it's sort of that step in between living completely on your own and having some support.
It's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. Budget time. Always fun time, I know, for governmental entities.
Starting the budget.
Here we go. With what the governor has given you as indicators, what the federal folks have given you as indicators, what your trends are giving you as indicators, what does the upcoming year look like?
It's going to be a mixed bag. I think we're holding on at this point. We are hopeful that we are going to see a transportation package come through the state. The governor at least is starting to talk about, you know, passage of a transportation.
Run the bullet train up here?
I don't know if we'll get the bullet train all the way up here, but they are looking at some reinvestment in infrastructure. So we're hearing
you saw what he put out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything is in the lower 60% of the landmass. Nothing north of Sacramento.
Yeah.
So that's not locked down. It's still malleable?
Well, we're hopeful.
I did a little reading during the break.
Yeah,
malleable?
You did. I'm from Arcata. What does that mean? we're hopeful there's still at least a local community's portion of the transportation bill. They've done some reductions in the overall portion of the transportation bill. I think it went from like $6 billion down to $5.2 billion. And some of that is transit-oriented reductions, but it wasn't supposed to come out of the local allocations, is what we're hearing so far. So on that piece, I don't think, we're not hearing from the federal government exactly how those changes will ripple down. We've got people in the arts and the education communities that are on specialized federal grants that are concerned about specific programs in the area that may be cut, but I think we need to hold on a little bit and see how that starts to rattle through Congress. On the local level, we're seeing some positive changes. We're seeing sales tax start to rise again. We're seeing our property taxes start to rise again. So I think we're seeing some stability come to the local government economy.
Housing turnover?
We're seeing some housing turnover. We're seeing values, median household values, go up about 7% last year. We've seen about a 5% increase in sales tax. So, I mean, those are pretty large jumps. I mean, we obviously had a huge fall. Our property values are not back to 2009 values yet, but they are really starting to rise. And as we see houses turn over, we're seeing sales much more rapid. Houses are closing quicker, not staying on the market as long. So those are all good indicators for us locally.
So with the anticipated additional housing on campus, or sort of kind of on
right.
campus, how does that project for you folks with the housing sales, housing values, housing sales? Because obviously now you're able to reappraise every one of those, and
right.
it might be a bump
yeah.
up.
We have that large housing complex, you know, coming onto the books potentially. We also have two other more traditional, again, apartment style, you know, roughly student housing near the campus coming on. One is 42 units, the other is 142 units. So we have a substantial amount of what you would traditionally think of as student housing. We just do not find that we are near saturation in our housing market. The campus has about 8,500 students at Humboldt State. About 2,000 of them are housed on campus, so that leaves about, you know, 6,500 to be housed.
We got about 15
in the
local
community.
When you're living at home.
Right. I mean, there are maybe even 1,000 that have found some sort of, you know, local family or friend housing. And there are a substantial number in Eureka and Blue Lake and McKinleyville. So, you know, until we get this more directed student housing, it'll be hard to see what population that really pulls. But I don't think that even with the housing that we have in the pipeline right now, that we're going to find that it completely loosens up our housing market.
Whose responsibility? Private sector or the educational sector for the housing?
I think what they're saying from Humboldt State and what this community has traditionally done is it is a combination of both. I mean, it's a real advantage to have the Humboldt State University economic driver in Arcata. It has supported a lot of private housing development over the years. From the campus perspective, I think when they really look at recruitment and retention, especially of younger first-generation urban potential candidates coming up, or applicants into their school, they are looking at providing a campus experience. You know, when parents come up, they want to see a sense of security, of they can, you know, stay on campus and be fairly self-contained as they start to get comfortable in the local community. So I think it really is this combination of both, and we're seeing that between what they're doing, the work they're doing on campus to look at housing, and then this work that our private developers, some new and some traditional, are doing off campus.
Are you or the building department pushing for more of these developments, making it easier, maybe actively trying to recruit developers for specific sites for a student housing general concept?
Yeah, when the council has updated our housing plan and our general plan, we really put in a lot of policies that tried to focus high-density housing near the university. You know, Arcata has a real interest in becoming more car-free, so the concept of higher-density housing where students don't all need to bring cars to Arcata but can function real well between, you know, the community support they need from grocery stores to, and then getting to campus on bike or via transit, I think, is the real, you know, the impetus behind our general plan policy. So all of these developments really do fall well within those policies.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Karen Deemer.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. Back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Deemer. Middle of March, we've got probably another couple of weeks of good storms.
Oh, no. I think, aren't they over?
Yeah, oh, sure, yeah. Don't worry about this afternoon.
Yeah.
Is everything okay for the rest of the way? You're not looking at
it. Oh, man, I'm knocking on wood now. You got me knocking on wood this morning.
Yeah, well, that's all right. You know, wood's a good thing.
Wood is a good thing, yep, on so many levels in our community. But, you know, we've made it so far extremely well through this very, very wet winter. You know, we've hit over 50 inches as of, I think, this morning in all parts of Humble Bay region. And we've had some devastating effects on Highway 299 and Highway 101, both north and south. So the isolation, I think, has been felt severely by a lot of, especially our hoteliers and tourism industries have been hit hard this quarter. But from a core infrastructure perspective, right around Humble Bay, I think we've all fared very well for, you know, what this winter delivered to us.
A lot of, I know dredging is probably not the right word to use.
Yeah, maybe not this
blowing
week.
Out might not be a good one either, but was it creek watershed restoration, blah, 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 building capacity? Did that come into fruition to benefit Arcata as much as it has down in Fortuna?
We've had a couple of significant restoration projects. The largest is one we call McDaniel Slough. We actually breached that slough channel into the bay, what was historically tide gates. That particular watershed has benefited tremendously by really just, you know, the inundation of salt water moving up and clearing out the lower channels of the creek. Heavy, heavy rains don't help our creeks and watersheds. They bring more sediment into those watersheds than they can possibly deliver out.
So do you have to go back in, or is it just waiting a couple years for nature to do its swish?
It's a combination of both. If you end up with a big debris dam somewhere, we will go in and clear those out. But for, you know, the slow sedimentation build-out load, you try to find ways of creating canopy over them and trying to, you know, create other ways, back channels for water to start to flow, to start to clear it out. You know, it's a much more heavily restricted ecosystem than even 20 years ago when people would just take backhoes through all of them.
And get the job done.
But I did want to touch on one other topic before I left this morning, because it's critical to Arcata. We do have a vacant council seat, and our council is going to fill Mark Wheatley's council seat. They're going to try to do that by appointment, and that appointment period is open. So anyone interested in running for an appointed seat on the Arcata City Council, the plus side of that is that you don't have to raise the money to, you know, create a full campaign. Those application deadline is March 24th, so there's still plenty of time to get in. The council has asked that candidates go through as standard of a candidate process as possible, so they will need to come in and get their nomination papers, have them signed, have them checked, and do a candidate statement, although you don't need to pay to put that up. All of the candidate statements will go up on the city's website for the community to review, and then they'll do a candidate forum to try to make a selection.
Resident anywhere in Arcata, or is it within the district?
Nope. Anywhere within Arcata, registered voters within the city limits of Arcata are eligible, 18 and older.
Oh, yeah. You threw that one in, too, didn't you?
I think that's it. I mean, those are the only requirements. 18 and older, registered to vote in Arcata.
Thanks for coming by. See everybody on Monday.